AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer county. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Where are you at? This is OG Gangsta Granny, and the Gangsta Chronicles podcast is back in effect. Get ready for some of that G shit and blaze up some Wanamera.
And we're back with our 100th episode celebration of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. And this time, man, I got a really good friend of mine sitting there with us. A couple of good friends of mine sitting with us. I got my boy Glass Malone and Peter Bosch.
And Big J.
And Jay, you a part of the show, dog. Come on, man. And Nate, of course.
Well,
and I wanted to tell you, you know, Glass, Peter have a podcast right now. What's the name of your podcast?
Technically, no, this is the No Ceilings podcast featuring Gangsta Chronicles.
Yeah. Oh, so right. We're going to do it like that. Yeah, so we'll make a couple edits. This is No Ceilings podcast featuring Gangsta Chronicles.
We're going to keep the same edit. That way, they be like, them niggas is crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it, dog.
You have both. Niggas be like, what happened?
For sure. So, and you have happen to have a white guy with you.
Yeah, Peter.
Well, that's me.
Peter. Peter, he's a white guy.
Nice introduction. Nice introduction. No,
that's what they give me.
Peter, are you white?
He said, and you have a white guy.
Legally, yes.
Legally white.
Yes.
No,
technically black.
That's an inside joke that me and Peter got, you know, the white man's opinion and everything. You know, we got a thing.
That's correct.
White man's opinion. And so, Glasses, I'm going to start right off the rip, man. Whether it's on Instagram, Clubhouse.
You know what? We're not even going to do that. We're going to do something better. Did you think you would make it to 100 episodes when you first came up with this?
Man, I didn't know.
You don't really remember when we was at talking about this?
Yeah, I remember we was talking about it. I remember we first talking about it. I knew it was going to be some cold shit, though.
Do you remember the inspiration of why you started doing this?
Yes, I do.
You would start trying to live vicariously through your son. And I was like, you got so much to offer the world, you shouldn't stop.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
You looked at me crazy. You was like, gee, I can't do nothing. I'm like, you got a lot to offer the world.
Yes, you hear that?
And you just tried to back down. The next thing you know, now you got a pod. You're on 100 episodes. Big podcast.
You,
You were trying to play football again?
No, hell no.
You trying to live through Chris?
What's hell cold no. is...
Ball on.
No, hell no. I was doing the same shit you were doing now.
It's my fucking...
Oh, coach. He was coach.
I was coaching.
Going to the Little League games with the football uniform on still and shit. They like, this nigga 13 and shit still.
It wasn't no shit like that. But how I good was your team when you was coaching? Son. I was coaching football and everything like that.
He would only coach his son's team. I hate them kind of dads.
Well, who the fuck else was like a coach?
Was he a daddy baller?
His son was coach. I can't.
I wouldn't have been
before you or daddy.
His son
was
good. I didn't coach my son. I coached offensive line. No, I coached offensive line.
Chris didn't play all the good positions.
No, every one of them.
He was the best player on the field, though.
Yeah, he was.
I didn't coach him, though. But
he never coached no other team. He Snoop. He retired when his son retired.
That was it?
No, I actually coached 2 years after that. I actually won 2 Super Bowls after that, after he left.
Who did you coach for?
I coached for Paramount. I was the president of Paramount's organization. I coached Paramount. What happened was I actually coached 2 years after Chris left because I coached all my kids up. Because you got to remember, I had all of them since they was 8 years old.
Right.
So I coached them all from 8 to 14.
Gotcha.
Who was the player you thought at one time, like besides Chris, that you knew, like, this guy is special?
Oh, Kobe Pepe, the defensive lineman up at USC right now. His dad brought him in from the Long Beach Patriots, right? He got cut from there. They told him he wasn't no good. And so I brought him out there and I said, man, this dude could actually be a really good defensive lineman, but his dad wanted to play linebacker and tight end. You know, the dads come in with all these expectations.
The glory position.
Yeah, so he was so much bigger and faster than everybody. I let him play linebacker. Now he at USC, he actually got a lot of time as a freshman. We actually had 13 kids from that team. My team that year is playing college football right now.
What was the saddest case that happened? Like, out of all the kids that you felt like it was one kid could have been special, but, like, the streets kind of start doing a number on him?
Well, I had a kid. I had a couple of them. I had one kid that came in. He was from Compton. I heard maybe a year and a half ago he got shot and killed. He started gangbanging, started claiming a neighborhood over there. And the dad had me talk to him a couple of times. He wound up getting killed. I had another kid. I don't really want to put his name out there like that, but I had another. Yeah, we used to call him Black Jesus. Remember the one kid I had?
I remember.
That was from Watts. I had to actually go to Watts to the projects to get this kid. We walk up in there. I'm walking in the projects, man, like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I know you was shitting.
And I don't know what his mama was doing there, but his mama ran shit in them projects, though. And I went up there, and they was like, what the hell you want, homie? Who you up here looking for? And I was like, I'm looking for people. They was like, John, it's a coach here looking for you. You know what I'm saying? So he came out, and she said, well, only way you can get him is you come and pick him up every day. So we had somebody come pick him up every day for practice. He wound up staying over my house a lot with me. I had kids at one time living in my house, G.
That's, you all right still, man. Every time you always surprise me with something new.
So it wasn't just about Chris. Chris happened to be a product of it because I didn't actually want to coach his first year. I got asked to coach the first year he did because they didn't know what they was doing.
That happened to me,
I wanted
too.
To just watch. I really wanted to be a daddy baller and just watch my son play in this. But they needed help. And that went from me doing that to seeing some shit that was wrong with the organization.
Now,
they
being
to take
one
over.
Of them just being on the coach. Nah, you was cussing the coach out.
I never had to cuss the coach out. Never. I'll be honest with you, man. My son, I never had to talk to no coaches about him. I just let him go play.
Right.
And let him do his thing.
He was so just, you're not like LeVar.
No, hell no, not like that. I ain't looking for a ball. See, this is cold right here. It flipped around. Glass is interviewing us now.
No, I'm not interviewing. I'm just talking to y'all.
Well, he heisted your show, and now it's our show.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
That's
I'm
how
all
it
with
goes
that.
Now.
I'm
but
just
now it's
talking
our show,
to y'all.
So
I'm all with that. This is something different.
No, I'm just talking. I'm just asking.
He don't like that shit. Yeah. You see him? He like, well, you're looking at interviewing us now.
Well,
shit.
No, it's all good.
He put him in the other position. He ain't feeling right.
No, it's all good. But I think the biggest thing, man, I fell in love with the kids.
That's cool.
Because you figure when I had them little dudes, they was all 8 years old. I had a kid named Jerry that was too big to play on the upper level. He actually quit the first year. He got hit one time and said, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I know. I done had a few of
those. Got his spirit pack and was gone.
You and his
boy nigga said he got his spirit pack. It was gone. He got his little t-shirt and shorts and was
gone.
Cool.
You ever been in
here.
The sports, James?
No.
That's all the fuck I'm gonna say. No.
My nigga said them streets was my sports.
That's it.
Hey,
no, he was the MVP in them streets.
I watched my nephew play, and he got hit, and the ambulance came. Motherfucker, get your ass up. And He let the ambulance take me away. I ain't never went to another game before. See, clown. I come and you get took out of the ambulance.
He let the ambulance.
See, James is one of them fucked up ass owners in the game. You get hit, kick your bitch ass up. Kick your bitch ass up.
He got a broke collarbone and shit. Better stand up. Walk that shit off.
That motherfucker, they took him to the hospital. By the time we left the stands and got to the hospital, that motherfucker was standing in the hallway ready to go. Ain't nothing wrong with this motherfucker.
His whole fever broke.
Yeah.
James, like, walk it off.
Oh, no, but if he came like hard, his played
spirit
played
was broke. James said to the stands and said,
I can't do that.
He was like, hold up.
What high school did you go
he
to?
Looking out the gate.
What
shit,
high school did you go to?
What
high school?
I went to shit. He's like, this motherfucker got the ambulance coming to get him.
I went to Dominguez. Got kicked out of Dominguez the first day I went to the motherfucker.
How the fuck you kicked out the first day?
I was getting checked in and I was fighting outside where I was getting checked in. And they said, we don't want him here. Then I went
right
to Centennial.
Now, they just turned right on around. So, get your little books and shit, get on home.
For my classes, I was like, oh no, fuck this. So I just went to school for lunch.
It's not funny.
No, serious. I went.
Even just at the 10?
Just for activities. I just went for lunchtime. And that's where all the fighting started. So I just went to school for lunch. There wasn't nothing else to go for.
So you just went to school for the fights?
Just to go for the fights.
I didn't know.
But who was fighting at the 10?
Gangbangers.
With each other? At the 10?
Said gangbangers.
At Centennial?
See, I think this is the problem. I think.
Hell yeah, like, gangbangers.
No, when you think about it, I think. Because when you grow up like right in your crib, you always think of the Bloods as like a bunch of people that's cool together.
Oh,
so when you saying that to 10, you're like, no. It's the same thing.
Yeah, we did.
When
think
I was
that,
going
though,
to school,
as young Crips, we didn't like think all that together. Y'all got into it
at
as
all.
Much oh, as, no. as we did.
I had a purpose when I was gangbanging. My purpose was to fight and fuck with niggas that wasn't on my side. And
that's that a was fair purpose, point. I guess, for
that's
particular
fair.
You know
adventure.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of people don't look at gangbanging like they used to look at gangbanging, but back then, it meant something to me and some of the other cats from where you from. I had pride in where I was from. And to be a gang member, these cats don't understand what a gang member is. I was active, so I believed in getting at the other side or the other side getting at me. You can't go home crying because you got your ass whooped by the Crips, just like some niggas can't cry because they got their ass whooped by Bloods.
Exactly.
So it was just part of the game. But when I was in the game, I believed in that. I believed in what I was. I believed in what I was doing. If you fold today, you're going to fold tomorrow.
When
and that
you,
wasn't happening.
When do you first time remember like Pa Rules being against Pa Rules? Like, when do you actually remember that happening?
This is a history everybody can say if you've been in the hood a long time. Motherfuckers been against each other from the beginning of time. It just ain't exposed like it is today. You know what I'm saying? You always had motherfuckers that fought each other. But like with Pa Rules and Compton, you really didn't get that because
that
we was already outnumbered. You know what I'm saying? Whether you went to jail, whether you went to prison, the homies I didn't listen to is the ones that told me when you go to prison, when you hit whoop the whoop, sock the guard, hit somebody. There's too many Crips on Chino West. They gonna kill you. Oh, ain't that the purpose of being with y'all? Fuck folding up. You know what I'm saying? So
I've
learned,
you
know, we was always outnumbered. But you are who you are if you stand up to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was taught to be tough. I didn't have a choice. So if you're gonna whoop my ass, you're gonna whoop my ass.
I had a saying, like the real Bloods is like the Marines. You was like the smallest, but you got to be the most active.
You had to be.
My brother is from Poole. It's from Fruittown Bram, and he was always, anywhere we would go, we would always get into it. And I could imagine he always had to be overactive because everywhere he went, it was just Crips everywhere.
Yeah.
So you had to be a cold nigga to be a real Blood.
That's the life.
Dog.
You have to. So, I mean, just living that life and being, you have to. I done seen a lot of cash fall. Just on where you from, homie. Mm. Oh, I ain't from nowhere. I'm from Mississippi.
Wow.
Motherfucker, you live over here. You know what I'm saying? So, but you get it on both sides.
Nigga
sure.
Didn't say,
I don't give
from,
a fuck what hood
I'm
you from. I don't give a fuck
say
what
I'm
hood.
From Cerritos.
You claim.
He said, I'm from Mississippi.
Everywhere you go. Yeah, everybody that gangbang ain't built
yeah,
for.
No.
ain't built for that type
definitely
of shit.
Not built for the infantry
no,
part of it.
No, they not built for that type of shit.
I always felt like, I would argue with my older homies, I felt like one of the mistakes was trying to turn everybody into the infantry. Like, it seemed like it could have more arms and more, like, I would, certain homies I thought should have been, we should have put them through college. Certain homies I thought we should have made them police. I was thinking just differently, and them niggas would look at me like I'd have lost my mind, but I felt like it was a confusion that if everybody was infantry, they didn't belong, and I thought that was one of the biggest mistakes. Well, I thought you could make some people to make money. It was certain homies I grew up with, like, it didn't matter how much you would be willing to participate and do what you got to do. It's certain people where I'm from, they love that. The infantry part of it is everything. They looking at the guns, staring at them. One of my homies know how to break down guns and clean them. That was his thing.
He'd be the first one to get killed, though.
For sure. It could happen.
That's why we created, when I was doing it, we had Buster Week. And that's to eliminate the guys that just in the hood, living off of the big homie or this dude or that dude.
Or just the reputation of the neighborhood.
You can't wear a certain color and then go somewhere else and take it off. So that's what Buster Week was. We know you ain't with it. So that saved a lot of cats in the neighborhood life. Because once you get punked in front of your girl, what happens? You don't want to do this shit no more.
Yeah.
Once you get beat up, you don't want to do this shit no
more. James, what would y'all do on Buster Week?
Exactly. That sounds crazy.
We had a crew of five. Me, Big Al, Lil G.
That's like Danny. The SEALs.
Yeah, and what we do is walk through the hood. It might be Friday or Saturday, and we might see the homie over there standing over there selling his little rocks or whatever. You got him, Big Al, or you want me to take him? No, get him. Let Zeke get him. And Zeke would go over there, nigga, you a bitch, nigga, and woo woo. Start whooping his ass. If nigga getting the best of Zeke, we jump in and beat the shit out of him. Get the fuck out the hood.
So a nigga wouldn't go win no way then?
No, you lost already.
How did you Schindler's List?
We all sitting at the house, at my house, and I just said one day, man, you see how Big Al acting? That nigga's a bitch. The other homie say, let's go whoop his ass. And that's how it started.
Let me ask you this scenario.
Let's say y'all would have went over to the Big Al. And the first one that ran up on him got knocked out, and he was just serving niggas. Would y'all have gave him some respect and gave him a pass, or would he have been?
No, done? he just said it all went over there and knocked his head off.
That's what I'm saying. So he didn't get no love at all.
No.
We had already declared that he needs to be.
They already decided before they went over there.
You can't win with no shit like that.
The majority of everything
they called themselves Killer Rob or Killer Duba or whatever, and I shouldn't have said them names, but fuck it. You ain't never killed shit a day in your life. Stop acting like that. And, you know, just say, for instance, my brother-in-law.
My nigga James don't give a fuck. No, you understand me?
That's why I told you to get this nigga on the podcast.
Motherfuckers come to the neighborhood and motherfuckers act like they this and that. Okay, we're going to put you to the test on that, just like going to jail. If you ever been in the module, where in the blood module or whatever, you got tested. You going to have some type of activity. You know what I'm saying? If you can't handle it, you got to get the fuck out of here. Or you're going to be sitting in the cell ain't in 3 days because they're going to make you stay in the cell after your swelling go down.
So nobody gets you.
Yeah, so it's just certain things you had to do. If you wouldn't with it, you wouldn't with it.
So now back. Certain cats, they got to wait until they punkin' head go down and all that shit in the infirmary.
So back to the list. What if somebody just didn't like that person and put that person on? He can't just be a mark. Like, don't he have to do some mark activities or something? Or you just didn't like him?
We looked at motherfuckers that just sold dope in the hood and didn't do shit. We looked at motherfuckers that when we was fighting, where the fuck this motherfucker go when the dust clear? Oh, you from fucked up. So that we got that ass. So we had a crew of if everybody kicking it, we know everybody is with it. If we get into it at the parade, we know ain't nobody running. You know what I'm saying? The weenie niggas didn't hang out with us because they knew if James got drunk, he finna trip on somebody. You know what I'm saying? And everybody in Compton know if that motherfucker start drinking, get the fuck on.
Yeah, that's you know what I'm saying? Know that too.
Yeah, so that's how it was. And I didn't need the Big L's and everybody else to come because I felt a certain kind of way. Like the first time I got shot, I didn't see nothing but backs. I didn't see motherfuckers trying to pick me the fuck up and come on, so you
I just left a day.
Trying to
I
carry
just saw
me.
Asses and elbows.
That's it. Gone. So, and this was 1980.
So this changed. So this is kind of what changed your.
Now
whole
I'm in that age, and I'm disrespecting. I try my best to be disrespectful to people. I have to be disrespectful because you left me for dead.
Has anybody you ever met, like from around your way when you was in that time, somebody you thought was a sucker and then they end up being something special?
Oh yeah, a whole bunch of them. A whole bunch of them. It's a lot of cats that's just quiet. And you know, they just in the hood like Hen Dog, rest in peace. You know, he was real quiet, but he had that Chicago mentality. He didn't talk. And when it was time for business, he just handled business. And when I first seen his get down, I was like, God damn, I moved a nigga in our house. You living with us, my nigga.
Where you at? You with us.
Yeah, so, that's I mean, cool. it all that's depends on dog. The people and the homies that you fuck with. You know what I'm saying? And then at the end of the day, some of them are more dangerous than anything. You know what I'm saying? Like what we had on death row. You know, you had nothing but pet bulls, nothing but killers on the team. So at the end of the day, when it's time to eat, that motherfucker gonna do what he got to do to eat. You know what I'm saying? And then we find out we wind up killing each other. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happens when you get people like that in the same circle. You know what I'm saying? But we used to didn't do that.
Well, y'all grew up with each other. It was a different love.
We grew up with each other. Motherfuckers used to sleep at my house 7 days a week. And at the end of the day, the same motherfucker that shit showered and shaved at my house pulled the trigger on my brother.
That's crazy.
Not shot him one time, but 7, 10 times. Come on, man. That if I shot you more than 3 times, I must That's have hated problem. Your punk yeah. ass if I shot you that many times. It was just, I'm on some fucking. You feel me? And these guys live with us.
That's crazy. When I used to, I used to always feel like the people like that was from the hood that wouldn't go do nothing, that was making money, I felt like we should have impose like a tariff on them. Like, I don't feel like running them off always was the smartest thing. I would argue with my older homie and I'd be like, we should make them pay. Like they money earners.
So I feel like,
yeah, because everybody got to contribute. My mentality became everybody got to contribute. So if you're not a soldier.
Glasses, at one time, you from the hood.
Yeah.
You started your shit.
Yeah.
Y'all got, like you said, y'all got earners. They wasn't taxed. Were you approached in that sense?
Nah, because I was contributing in every way. Okay. At that point, like I was already.
So why you don't look at it like this? If it's 50 of y'all, you know 20, at least 20 gonna run. Why get rid of that 20 and fight straight 30? That you know is solid, ain't going nowhere. Get rid of that 20, because that 20 is a waste of time. Because I'm gonna try to help one of them motherfuckers that's running lose my concentration, and now I done got God because I'm trying to help a motherfucker ain't with it.
I definitely don't think that person should be like in the activities.
Well, why take his money? Fuck the money.
I mean,
you want solid motherfuckers. You don't want a gang of motherfuckers. A lot of motherfuckers live with people that they think because of numbers, we got this. They think because it's 9 niggas and 5 of us got guns, we can't get hurt. Well, shit, I done seen niggas die with guns.
But you don't think even with all of this stuff, like it made sense to have like a certain level of economics because it is everyday responsibilities versus a person like I got certain homies, right? And I know you know just this kind of person. They don't know how to hustle. All they know how to do is get busy.
Right.
But we could be making that person pay for this person's livelihood because this person, the one thing he know how to do really good is make a ton of money. He might don't know how to do everything else, but he could be paying this person's livelihood, like the military we got in the country. Like maybe these people don't know how to earn, but they know how to go handle business when it's time to handle business.
Well, in the 80s, niggas wasn't thinking like that.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah.
Niggas
yeah,
wasn't on that page. Everybody was 4-7.
Because it wasn't no money like that.
It wasn't like that. Today, it's totally different than when we started off, early 80s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it was like that, then everybody
So you was
had
you
money.
Was before the crack though. So you was before all that really happened.
Cocaine came. Yeah, we was.
So you watched that happen.
We was putting marijuana in the motherfucking microwave and hooking it up and rolling dollar joints and going to school with the motherfucker and selling dollar joints.
So you actually seen when everything changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you watched the guns change.
When I went from getting shot with 38s to getting shot with 45s. So it was a big difference.
That's a big difference.
And that's when you look at your motherfucking little 25 and say, fuck this motherfucker. You get out of the way and go get you something bigger.
That 84-85 transition, man.
You seen that too.
Man, that 84-85 track, it was vicious.
So the guns just went from like regulars to like Uzis
or K. It was a time spurt, man. You didn't have a day in Compton where niggas wasn't getting hit.
I remember that.
And it all depends on certain neighborhoods had motherfuckers that made money and put
the right guns in there. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, when the check, see, I get what you said in your time, like y'all was titans. So literally, it was just all power establishment of who physically was
all,
stronger.
It was all about walking the hood and protecting the hood. So you might have 20 motherfuckers walking, but you got 9 38s. You know what I'm saying? And you had two motherfuckers walking in front and two walking in the back. But then you had the crowd. You know what I'm saying? So motherfuckers were strategic, but we just didn't have it like that to just get up and we wouldn't go into everybody's hood. Yeah. And participate.
Especially where y'all from, y'all. And especially y'all had a lot to cover.
Yeah, it's a lot to cover.
Let's pay some bills real quick and check in with our sponsors.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where you at? This is OG Gangsta Granny, and the Gangsta Chronicles podcast is back in effect. Get ready for some of that G shit and blaze up some Guanamera.
Hey, you remember the first time when you seen like a K? Like, so this had to be right before you start. Like, you became professional as an MC.
Yeah.
This is like right before that.
I became professional. I was still trying. I was in the neighborhood.
Yeah, everybody said that. Everybody talk about you had a tray. You was on Crenshaw.
Yeah, I was. I didn't give a fuck. See, that was one thing about me. The neighborhood was everything. Even with rapping, I wanted to be more proven from Trag New than anything. So I didn't give a fuck about the videos and all that shit. Like you said, nigga, I was low riding every Saturday in the hood, fucking up and down Crenshaw with just neighborhood niggas, hanging with the 111s, hanging with, you know, just
just the Compton nigga.
It was just, it was because the fame shit was bullshit to me. You get me? Like I said, I was a nigga who grew up in the era of the hood was everything. Like, I ain't had no fucking role models, you know? No father in the Whoever house, single money. Moms. Yeah. Moms going to work from 11 at night to 7 in the morning, and I'm 13, 14. Everything about it was the fascination, the brotherhood. So that was it. And once I became that, I didn't give a fuck about nothing else. Like, so niggas had to tell me to stop coming to the hood.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know. Because
you weren't taking advantage of your chances, your opportunity. Give a damn.
And when niggas start saying, man, don't come over here no more. Don't come over here no more. Man, don't.
You ain't finna throw away your... I always say that it's a confusion, like, when people hear about gangbanging. Like, they don't realize it's people that really raised you or you grew up with. So people really care genuinely about your interests if it don't benefit them.
There was a few homies from the hood that was like, man, maybe you need to, you know,
kind of do something else.
Because it's bigger than this shit now.
That's a big homie. If they see you going the wrong way and they know you got talent or you good at something, and they tell you to stay the fuck away from the hood, that's somebody give a fuck about the homie. You know what I'm saying? You don't got that every day. You don't get that every day today.
No.
Motherfuckers say, come on, little homie. You know what I'm saying? A lot of shit just tore the process up. When crack came, my big homies got on drugs.
Well, they didn't know.
So
they,
the first thing, yeah. No, they didn't know. But the first thing that happens is you start disrespecting the big homies because they fucked up. And then they going to prison and then coming home from prison, they back on drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, you can go to prison and get swole all day. I didn't respect that because you got different type of gang members. You know what I'm saying? You got some motherfuckers that want to just hang in the hood. You got some niggas that just want to be a part of the hood because they feel protected. Then you got those motherfuckers that's really with the business, and you got them motherfuckers that'll wear that bandana, but you ain't gonna wear it outside of the hood. You got a different variety of niggas out there. So you got to deal with all different kind of shit. Now here's motherfuckers that's teaching me that, nigga, if you gonna be from the hood, this is what you got to do. You ain't never told me that one day, watch out for me.
Yeah, they don't tell
you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just growing up, you got to learn. You know what I'm saying? What you see, everything you see, and how you move.
What I realize more than anything sometimes, like listening to your music or listening when y'all doing the podcast, y'all era was the first ones that seen crack and didn't know what it was. Like, you know what I mean? Like the power of it. Like versus my era where we seen it and we watched certain older homies, it was just, you could see it just devastating.
Man, we had so much dope in the hood. I was giving away big ass rocks like this. Big ass rocks for $40.
It's a
quarter piece.
But we sold so much goddamn dope.
You're giving up
everybody
double
bought
up.
A car. Everybody
it's a damn quarter piece.
You're but didn't up know. Double up for 40, and, nigga, plus that.
And motherfuckers today that got that from us made it happen. Them niggas got money. But I didn't know what the shit, and I was just getting rid of the shit. Man, we had so much goddamn cocaine. We was doing the shit in my garage. Was blowing Mayonnaise jars up.
Just figuring it out.
Cocaine all on the motherfucking paneling in the garage, and niggas was scraping it off, rolling Primos and shit. And I'm like, what the fuck is they doing?
That's crazy.
But back then, in 80, 81, that's how niggas was getting down.
Well, you know, when I saw the exchange, man, it was like little subtle shit. Like, you know, you would hear the clays, and I'm like, pop, 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 here and there. That shit turned.
It was like that. Well, getting chased by one of them motherfuckers.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk?
get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where you at? This is OG Gangsta Granny, and the Gangsta Chronicles podcast is back in effect. Get ready for some of that G shit and blaze up some Warner metal.
When was the first time you saw somebody, either like one of your partners or somebody that y'all had issues with an AK? What year, what the fuck was that?
Lord have mercy.
That had to be some shit.
85?
Do you remember? Yeah, did you know 86. What it was?
About yeah, 80, hell about yeah. 86. Just the sound of the motherfucker. It wasn't a 38. and motherfuckers was running, trying to get the fuck out the way. Whatever is knocking the paint off these motherfucking windows. And fucking these cars got and the cars rushing. I don't want to be nowhere in front of that motherfucker.
Bullets going right through and shit like it ain't nothing, man. You know, man, that ain't no motherfucking 22.
Look. So this is crazy. I'm being chill. We're talking about Chill got on, but that's crazy. Who hood had enough money to have too many of them where you knew, like, they got too much shit right now?
Santana's.
They had the ballers money. In our neighborhood.
Santana's yeah, y'all had did. too much artillery. It's just like going to somebody's neighborhood and they shoot you out the motherfucker. What the fuck did we get ourselves into? I mean, shit like that.
Because they had money when I was going up. They used to have a little spot on Santa Fe.
On Spring.
It ain't there. Yep. So I knew they had, but that's my point of when I was noticing earners.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they wasn't necessarily like, you didn't hear their name like you hear Huncho or Mob James or
right.
Delta, but you heard the ones that was getting money, like a Fink or certain people, and you noticed them hoods would be having all these crazy guns. That had to just be crazy to go from getting shot at with a 22 to an AK.
They was buying shit from somewhere else. They weren't buying their guns in Compton.
Yeah, question. Were there like some crews who really would get their money and they wanted cars, and you knew the culture of that team was they wanted cars and jewelry. Other guys were like, no, we're going to reinvest and we're going to go really just get a lot of stuff.
In the 80s, it wasn't no reinvesting. Everybody went for the jewelry, the cars, the clothes.
A bunch of poor people.
The bam. Now, you knew who the gangsters were. But instead of guns. Because the gangsters was getting khakis and khaki suits, and bam, the ones that wasn't with it was getting the corduroy suit. Pants,
Sergeant the fila,
what's
shit,
the name man. Of that goddamn jacket? I hated niggas that wore that.
Members only.
Members only.
Members only. Fila suits.
You can't even hold with a members only jacket on. I knew you and shit. Get the fuck out of here. What's that with the alligator?
Oh, LaCroix.
Take that shit off. Get the fuck out of here. But look, right now today, you got gang members with red and burgundy and gray hair. You got niggas wearing straight jeans with 13 zippers on their
vests. The code is definitely different.
My whole thing
nowadays.
Is get the fuck out of here. That's not how you identify.
Yeah, I agree. It's a uniform.
And being an alternate from my neighborhood, you had to identify to let a motherfucker know you with it. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you out there doing your thing. If a motherfucker didn't understand where you was from and what you is, they're gonna approach you in a fucked up, a totally fucked up way. So you had to.
Trust me, Pluck and Moon, that
dress code was important.
But more than anything, you gotta do shit to people so you don't have to do shit to people or people don't do shit to you. Because if they think they can, they will, for sure.
I think
our dress code was simplified.
After you put yourself out there and you don't give a fuck what you're doing and how you getting down, that one incident goes from here to everywhere. So when motherfuckers find out and figure out, because they didn't know the face, they knew the name.
Yeah, that's true.
And when the shit happens, motherfuckers get to speak. And I had so many motherfuckers come at me and ask me, did I know Whoop the Whoop, Mob James, that's my cousin. And I'm looking at this motherfucker like, that's your cousin, for real?
You're like a rapper, dog. You just like on for this street shit.
Niggas lying like a motherfucker.
Just lying to you.
But you had that just so a nigga can get himself out of trouble. If you name somebody that got a name, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a pass.
So what I realized, too, is y'all generation is the first generation with nicknames.
No, it ain't.
No?
The homies before me and the homies before them. Everybody have a nickname. Niggas ain't walking around here, hey, what's up, Charles Dutton?
So on the west side, that's what they was doing. They be for sure. They be saying real. I know a lot of them government names from gangbangers. That was their thing.
My uncle and them had gang names. Had names. I was this tall. I was a little boy.
Crazy.
So, no, it all depends, man. And some motherfuckers, if you had a catchy name, like Tookie, you know, everybody knew Tookie, but Tookie. You know what I'm saying?
Name is good brand.
Yeah, so you branded. You know what I'm saying? So it's totally different from today. Today, there's no respect, no loyalty, no nothing.
Well, what changed also is, and I watch it happen because like I'm closer to it every day, is all my homeboys, I grew up with them. Now people are able to drive into somebody's neighborhood and like be a part of the neighborhood.
Right. Yeah.
It's like strangers. It's a bunch of strangers together. And that was something I noticed like on the west side they had to deal with because the territories were so big when you crossed the 110 versus on our side of the 110, you kind of had to grow up with everybody.
Exactly.
Right. We all went to Walden.
Close knit.
We all went
like
to Walden.
Like we was in Compton. Exactly. It was kind of close knit.
Yeah. We all went to Walden or everybody went to Bunch. We all knew each other.
But that really don't mean shit. You got motherfuckers out here don't give a fuck about the next brother. The next motherfucker, whatever. And he might be the one that killed you. Now, when the crack came, we had homies that did make it and make a lot of money. We had homies got killed by the homies just to get his bag instead of getting it himself, and he couldn't make it as a drug dealer. Took a homie life. So, I mean, the game is just so fucked up. Cocaine came in and fucked up everything.
It's like New Jack City. Remember how the movie started? They was like, yeah, we all we got. It was just
the
money, brother. We all we got. As soon as Nino got some money, he started telling. Nino got some girl, he killed his partner.
Me and this nigga right here, me and Fonby, we had a whole block. We had from Anaheim and Anaheim.
What you mean you had a whole block, nigga? What was you doing? What was you doing? No, I'm trying to call Fonby.
Hey, you see me?
Hold up, nigga. What was you doing on that block?
Fonby.
Shout out to the OG on me, Fonby.
I got receipts.
I'm not asking you for receipts. That's not what I'm asking. Hold up, Fonby. What was you doing on them blocks?
I was selling crack like a motherfucker.
You sold crack?
I was getting my money.
For real?
I was selling crack like a motherfucker.
That was in Cleveland, right?
Fonby, you ruined this man's life, Fonby.
Still, that was in Cleveland?
That was in Long Beach?
What happened was, when I came out here from
Ohio. Hey, wait a minute. How you didn't end up becoming a gangbanger? Fonby, why you didn't court him on?
Prison.
He'd
have been from the set.
Hold up.
Let me see you throw it up right now.
Throw up and say one time. You know how they throw it up?
You ain't on the block in a Letterman jacket?
I got caught up.
I ain't never claimed nobody.
Hold up. Did they used to claim you?
No, I wasn't. We was getting money.
When you was in, if somebody be like, man, you know your homie still, you know, like, yeah. Oh, you from Insane, nigga.
No.
For sure you'd have been from Insane, nigga. Oh, your homie is Fonby? Oh, nigga, you from Insane. Hold up.
He never wore
no Raiders gear?
He never represented.
Hold up. Did you ever wear Raiders clothing?
No, I didn't.
You never wore Raiders gear.
See, let me say something. Let me get this off. Let me get this off.
Oh, that's now your baby.
What do you have?
He from baby then. He was a baby. He was ahead of the curve.
No, we talking about 30 years ago.
I know, but he's ahead of the curve.
Let me get this off. Let me get my stuff off. All right. I came out with strictly intent on making some motherfucking money. I wasn't with none of that shit, and I respected the gangbanging shit too much.
So you'd have been on Buster Week, is what you said.
I wouldn't have been. No, I had hands. I wouldn't have been on Buster Week.
You was exploiting the hood.
No, I wasn't exploiting the hood. I was getting some money.
What you mean? That's what I'm saying. You got to put it down and get money over here.
Well, the only way you can make money over there
if Fonby let him. Fonby's all right. Fonby just went up another notch on my bit. Man, Fonby, you all right.
And Fonby said, I'm going to show you how to get some money. He was my friend and showed me how to get some money. And the shit got bigger than we planned. And when the motherfucking police and helicopters shit start coming out, I start saying, fuck this. This shit is not for me. I left the whole zone in the corner of a building and walked the fuck back home.
And that was left a zone?
Hell yeah.
Oh, you'd have got killed for that.
Like a
no, zone? Shit. A whole zip? Oh, was your whole zip?
But see, you got to hear the story of it. When he saw the helicopters and the police start coming, he left the motherfucking shit
there. I got laid on my back. I got laid on the ground and all that
luckily
shit.
Luckily, you just left the shit there.
Hey, man,
you
give
left the shit there and
how much
on.
Was it? I respect you. I do. That was a decision.
You knew you wouldn't cut out for this shit.
Yeah.
And when you saw it was time to go on your way out,
like, you know what? Let me just leave this with me.
He's not a compulsive gambler.
He's not a compulsive gambler.
He made his $1,000. He said, the stakes are too high, I believe.
Walk away from that shit. Cut
how much was the zip back then?
I walked away back then.
Wait, I'm gonna show you a Fonby who's your real partner. How much was Fonby charging you for the zip?
Shit, back then, man, like $450, $500.
All right, Fonby, you all right?
Okay.
You fair?
Okay, no,
I came.
Yeah.
You fair?
Okay,
the thing was,
now, if he'd been charging you $800 for that zone back then, I'd have been Fonby ain't shit.
Yeah, that's wrong.
We're talking about 30 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, for views and listen.
Man, 30,
ain't nobody buying crack. Everybody getting their life together now. You can't sell no crack in L.A. You come out here with crack in L.A., boy, you only could be in the Hoovers with that.
There's
about 13 people smoking dope still.
Yeah.
You got to remember the time I came out here. I came out here in 87, right?
Oh, you came right
niggas
when it was popping.
Niggas was really gangbanging out here. I didn't want no parts of that shit.
You was like, this ain't
niggas
it.
Niggas was getting shot up on PCX. Niggas was getting shot up on Myrtle, Malina, and all kind of shit. I didn't want no parts of that
like,
shit.
He was like, whatever they doing.
Niggas getting gunned down in the alley. You know that alley that go back to a Mega Burger on the corner? Yeah, it's the alley that go from them apartments. I used to see niggas, two or three niggas a week get laid down back in that motherfucker.
Like boys in the hood.
I see smokers, a nigga serving the smoker. Next thing you know, you hear pop, pop, pop. And the nigga that's telling them motherfucker leading the way.
I
respect you. I do too.
Because
you knew
it. Most motherfuckers don't know how to walk away. Some motherfuckers won't walk away and they be the victims. At the end of the day, you would have been a victim. Because somebody in the hood ain't liking what you're doing. When Fonby left, your protection was gone. The niggas that ain't gonna fuck with you because of him, them niggas would have came and tried to rob you. You'd have been a victim of circumstances, and you'd have been laying there saying, I know I wouldn't cut out for this shit.
No, but see, the thing was, though, James, I was a different nigga back then. I could fight like a motherfucker.
But you ain't want to shoot no guns,
no,
huh?
No, the thing is, no, I would have busted a pistol back then.
If somebody gonna kill you.
Yeah, if somebody was fucking me, I'd have popped the nigga, but I just saw that shit wasn't for me.
I respect that, and James is right. OG, right.
Because I start thinking about this. I come out here to play football. What the fuck was I going to tell Irene, my mama, I'm locked up, mama, for what? You out there playing football.
Out there selling rocks.
I'm out here selling rocks like a motherfucker.
So
he's the rock man.
What made you decide to stop the football path?
Well, I was still playing
he
football.
He was still playing. He was selling rocks and playing football.
I was a part-time drug dealer.
That nigga was Bo Jackson, the first
part-time
Bo Jackson. Selling
dealer.
Rocks and
man, you tried it.
Balling and balling.
He was getting sacks and selling sacks. No,
my nigga said
when he was the first
what's funny is the first Bo Jackson. So let me tell you, this is crazy, right?
We did this shit for about a good 6-7 months.
I used to feel like that, too. I used to think I wasn't.
You just said fuck football?
No, I was still playing football.
No, he went to college. He got his whole degree.
Doing your thing. I would go out there and get my
if you was only a drug dealer for 6 months, you were short term.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just like a fisherman. Said, I gangbanged for 6 months. You wasn't no motherfucking gangbanger for 6 months, nigga.
Yeah, that's real.
What's funny is
I respect the gangbanging, though. I'm going to never be one of them niggas. I feel never, like this. I'm not from out here. I'm not about to be out here fighting over no shit I don't know nothing about. I barely know the fuck where I'm at. How the fuck I'm going to be fighting for some shit this way over there?
Right.
What's crazy is, so this I don't think we ever talked about this, but so I grew up in Compton and watched my whole life. My mom lived in the farms. My pops lived in the hood. I never thought I would be a gangbanger or a drug dealer. Well, never in my life. So high school, I just started hustling, like just randomly. I don't know. My mom went to the feds. And the opportunity came across to make some money. It was like $200. And he was like, man, if you watch this spot for 2 hours, I'll pay you $200. Just don't let, Thunderbird was a smoker that used to know what he was doing. Just don't let him steal nothing. And it was $200. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this $200. So I was doing my homework in the spot. That's how the drug dealing started. The gangbanging was different. Like, it was, we all went to the same high school. We went to Paramount. And a couple of my homies went. And we would always get into fights over them. And I would always feel compelled to fight. Because, like, we grew up together. I ain't finna let nobody jump on the homie. So a lot of times, I didn't really feel like I was cut out for it. And I realized I was really kind of cut out for it when I went to jail. That is when I was like, oh, y'all could do this.
The gangbanging?
Yeah, I swear to God, like, my mentality was kind of different and fighting didn't mean nothing.
See, I never took to that.
Well,
shit
you
like
was
that.
Taught and showed something different.
Yeah.
If you ain't cut out for it at the beginning, something took you there for you to realize, okay, I can fuck with the homies on this level too.
Well, it started off as simple things, right? Y'all might go to the park and play basketball and somebody finna, we would all go to Mona. So we was all from 117. We all grew up over here. So if somebody tried to jump on one of the homies, you fighting for him anyway, even
you
before you thought it was gangbanging. It was just like, this fighting. Ron. I'm finna fight for Ron. Ain't nobody finna jump on Ron. And then when it went into gunplay, it just became more like, I don't think I was as compelled early, but the first time somebody started chasing at you, shooting at you, and then like logically you process like, if I don't shoot one of these niggas, they gonna keep fucking with me. And then at that point, you kind of start sizing it up differently. And it's like, I noticed everybody was cheating though. But I'm going to tell you,
bullshit right there though.
It's true. Like you start realizing, you'll find out who, I always say you'll find out who you are when you go to jail.
Right.
That's when you're going to find out who you are.
It's definitely going to make you a
you're going to decide.
It's going to make a break.
Yeah. It's
going to make a break. You're going to come home straight or you're going to come home with the booty.
Yeah. All that.
But you know, that's
what
one
you
thing.
Say, James?
You're going to come home straight or with the booty.
With that's the booty.
Because there's a lot of that in that motherfucker. I done seen motherfuckers in CMC get carried out that motherfucker.
Oh, God.
I ain't lying. You go in that goddamn cell, the whole cell look like shit. Why the shit down here like that? You be like, damn, old boy just took his ass. You see motherfuckers get carried, one go to the infirmary, the other one go to the hole.
That's just crazy.
If
and then
you
they
ain't
think
ready to fight for it, and a lot of motherfuckers, oh, they ain't gonna fuck me. Go to prison and don't have a friend.
You said
they gonna come get your fuck ass. And it ain't gonna come one motherfucker, it's gonna come five.
I got an older homie, right, and this nigga used to, like, I finally got a hold to his ass, you know what I mean? When I got a little older, I got his ass good, but he used to kind of always feel like he was just, because he was big, and his name was big too, about 6'6", 400 pounds, could fight. God, he was a shooter, he was a killer, he was cold. And this motherfucker, man, be raping motherfuckers in jail. And I think I asked him, I was like, man, that shit is gay. He like, no, I'm not gay. I'm this is like a dis. I'm like, no, bro, you like men. Like, I just could never imagine disciplining somebody by, like.
Some of them guys don't look at it like that in prison.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys that had life figured I'll never touch pussy again. So the next best thing to some pussy is that ass.
I just don't.
Let me tell you the story.
That's crazy.
So I'm saying, so you just go up in the motherfucker raw? He said, no, that's why I always take these jelly packs and put them in my cell. He put jelly on the nigga ass. No, I'm telling you.
Peanut butter and jelly?
Just jelly. They come in the little packs to spray it on your toe. Oh,
like a Denny's or whatever, about a sugar.
And he had a gang of that shit.
He gonna put some flavor to it.
And he said, I use jelly.
He ain't use no regular petroleum jelly.
Man, this is two goddamn stories. All you gotta do is look him up. He in all the papers, all on. No, serious. He was a straight, one of my big homies.
That's the car. That's he how I feel. One of my big homies.
He been in jail since 78.
What flavor was it?
I don't know what flavor he got that though. He done got stabbed trying to fuck me.
So he was putting great jelly on my booty.
He lived on the same block as me. And Big Smiley was like, he got life in 78. Got caught with a motherfucker dead in the trunk. Had the motherfucking pinky ring, but he had the pinky ring in his pocket. The finger. Got life in prison.
Wait, the ring or the whole finger?
The whole finger.
Just the finger, the whole finger with the ring on it.
Oh, in his pocket.
That's rough.
He got life. A lot of motherfuckers don't understand why they build the 105. They build the 105
to keep you off Imperial.
Keep motherfuckers going straight
Imperial motherfuckers get robbed all the time.
The police get, when motherfuckers get mad and talk shit to the police, they put that motherfucker in the cell with him. They go, motherfucker. And he raped more homies than the law allowed. You know, I ain't saying it was cool, but some motherfuckers don't act right. He gave them act right. And they talk about it right now in the day, all over here, all in the papers, the whole nine. And he just a booty bandit. But he say, I'll never touch pussy again. And never. Well, why you keep them jelly bags? He got, man, I put just spread that on them niggas' ass and go up in them.
So he was just a predatory rapist.
He was just a nasty bastard.
With flavor.
I think we could just end this shit.
Hey, why
with,
you gotta say shit?
With flavor.
Oh, man.
But my nigga buttered his toast with flavor.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying is,
woo.
A lot of motherfuckers talk about they ready to go to prison, they ain't certified unless they go to prison.
He is not ready to go to prison.
Ready a lot to go of cats, to prison and meet no motherfucker like that.
But not a lot Smiley, of motherfuckers bro.
Don't make it out of prison. A lot of motherfuckers, if niggas really want to know, don't make it out to county jail. Because when they put you on that motherfucking bus to go to Chino, ain't no talking shit. You in that motherfucking cell with 900 Crips and it's like 16 Bloods. If you ain't ready right then, your ass is out. They gonna take you, put you in another cell, and then they gonna might send you in a little van or something. You done got the shit beat out you already, because they already know you're banging. And then if you ain't with
you
it,
you gotta go to that yard.
You got a problem. You know That's what I'm saying? Crazy. But I mean, I swear to God, you gotta be ready. If you ain't ready for the real shit and what really happens in prison, a motherfucker don't give a fuck, you can be lifting weights and he come and stab your motherfucking ass. You can't say why. If you give a motherfucker an oyster, a can of oysters, and the nigga tell you, fuck you, you better go kill that motherfucker.
Poke that nigga ass
if
right now.
If you don't,
now.
The next nigga gonna come and get two cans of oysters.
Now, that's let me ask y'all this. Is it like that? Because I know people go to different prisons. Is it like that? Just like,
prison is prison.
Over. I ain't never went to prison. I only been to the prison. County.
Dewberry, is it like that? Dewberry, is it like that in Dallas?
See, you know.
Hold up. Dewberry, come up to the mic.
Oh, let me let Dewberry.
He said, it's Dewberry. Like it's in Dallas.
This is your conversation.
We just really made it to Gangsta Chronicles now. We made it to Gangsta Chronicles, nigga.
Yeah.
This is the Gangsta Chronicles now. You getting some Chronicle Gangsta shit right here.
This is
some crazy shit.
Dewberry been here.
No, I'm talking about Steel.
Yeah.
This nigga's getting raped and shit.
He said, let me get my seat up.
What's funny is, like, we used to listen to... All of y'all shit, right? Growing up, Dub, y'all shit, everybody. And it was always some crazy shit, like Dub talking about raping niggas with coat hangers and shit. And I'd be like, yeah, that just don't seem like that's gangster to like my generation. But I guess it just is another level.
Tales from the hood.
Yeah, nigga like raping nigga with a coat hanger.
For certain individuals that, you know, some motherfuckers can't do that time without, I mean, fuck jacking off. You know, that's why some motherfuckers is cool with the fifi. You know what I'm saying? You know how to make one of them?
No. I'm jacking off.
Niggas the OG feet
good with
back,
Vaseline
baby.
And
the socks and
jelly
yeah. I know how they make
Vaseline.
It, but I ain't fucking
you know what
no
I'm
socks.
Saying? Some motherfuckers is good jacking off like
I'm
that.
I'm just jacking off.
Some motherfuckers
don't no
get real shit. The next best thing to pussy.
I don't know. That
but
just...
they got men in there that's straight gay. That's with it.
But they don't know. But what's funny is somebody, like I said, my older homie, he I don't think he would classify himself as a homosexual.
He'll lie. He just don't want to be honest with himself.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them will tell themselves.
Where you think DL came from? Being on the download has been going on for many, many years. Way before this 95, 2000 bullshit when DL came out. Niggas been on the download since the 70s. The 60s, probably longer than that. But motherfuckers has been fucking motherfuckers for the longest.
That's crazy.
You know what, Mob? I think, I know down in Texas, though, see, when them niggas was doing that, them with the homies like y'all saying, them niggas was the big niggas that was really taking advantage of the little homies and all that shit. See, when the little homies start getting up and when the little homies start coming in from the streets and start seeing that shit, and them niggas start checking that shit, that when it start becoming, hey, man, nigga, you a punk, nigga.
Right.
Say, man, you a hoe ass, you know. Yeah. That's when those conversations came out. See, that's why I say at first it wasn't like that. See, at first, them niggas used to do hoe shit. It just took some little homies out the hood that came up in that bitch with like, nigga, you on some gay shit, nigga. So when that shit started happening, guess what? Then that shit started changing.
Now, how much time you do 17?
No, I did 18.
God damn, you walked off 18?
Yeah, I did 18 in that bitch.
Well,
you know
nigga
man?
Cold, boy.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's how it was. Cause, you know, I was one of them niggas that came in an era where.
Oh, so you watched the change too?
I watched the change because I went in 92.
So gang banging was, well,
see, now,
in Dallas,
see, now,
92?
The banging was like, nigga 92, the banging had just hit down there.
Yeah.
That bitch had just hit, right?
Versus when you came home.
Yeah. See, 92, that bitch had just hit. So he was like, okay, this what's happening. See, he was crip on crip down there.
I mean, it was always like I never knew nothing else anyway.
Yeah, because I was going to Dallas.
I never
93.
Yeah, I never seen the gangbang where it wasn't just Crip versus Crip. I don't even know what that is.
Nigga, do you know how many niggas I had to knock out behind MC8? And I didn't even know this nigga.
That's crazy.
I mean, this on some real shit because I'm sitting here with the homie right now, right? Man, nigga, I never jammed DJ Quick.
Oh, I see why.
That shit, right?
I see why.
Time for his ass to go.
You missed out though.
No, check out.
But I see. But no. But I see why though.
A lot
because
of,
if you from somewhere dudes, else,
a lot of dudes though.
I never felt
from
like
out
I,
of town.
Yeah, took sides.
They took sides.
What's funny is even with the West Coast, East Coast shit,
that
OG. With the East Coast, West Coast shit, OG. I don't think we ever gave a fuck.
Right.
We played everybody's shit when Quick and Eight. What, nobody stopped listening to nobody's shit.
No.
It was
no.
Just this, or that was hard, or this the hard next
exactly.
Nigga shit.
That way.
Some, when I listen to niggas like, where's Doggy? Doggy and them took that shit serious. Them niggas was like, yeah, this the East Coast. I'm like, oh, we ain't nobody taking that shit serious. Nigga, ain't nobody care about no motherfucking rap beefs. People really felt that that's how it was, and they chose sides.
Yeah, a lot of
we
people
never
did.
Was compelled to choose between Quick or Eight.
No.
We was never compelled to choose between Biggie and Pop.
I was.
Oh, yeah, but you in the middle of it.
I had to ride with Quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But you in the middle of it.
And then at that time, I'm in a 77 Cadillac, and I used to have my bumper kit. And I was DJ Quick all day. So, because we fucked with each other. Our hoods and everything, everybody was together. So when him and 8 Beef came, fuck it, I got to bump Quick. And I don't listen to rap, but I only bumped it in certain places. I didn't sit in the hood and bump DJ Quick. I bumped Otis.
Yeah, no, you going to bump the shit where you going to aggravate somebody.
But when
somebody.
They was going at it, I was like, oh, shit, this is
you chose
shit.
A side.
And I already knew. When Death Row came and it was against New York, oh, shit, let them niggas come out of here then. You know what I'm saying? I had to take sides. I ain't lying.
Yeah,
I'm with the homies. Because if, you know, motherfuckers don't get it. If I see, and I done went back for Bloods, I didn't even know. If I see that red rag swinging and banging, we pulled over and got out and had to get down. And that's how I met a lot of the homies. You know what I'm saying? Some motherfuckers will keep driving. Oh, he getting his ass whooped. No, if you banging the rag, rock with the rag. You feel me?
Exactly.
And that's how I roll with Quick.
You remember the first time you heard Dollars and Cents, OG?
Mm-hmm.
Where was you at?
But you banned the motherfucker.
Actually, I wasn't. I mean.
Where was you at?
I don't know where I was.
Like, how did, like who hood, brought it to you?
Probably in the neighborhood, because I was still going to the hood at the time. At the car wash, probably at the car wash on Compton Boulevard in Palmer Block.
Did that ever really, I don't, see now, I remember being around the city at that time, but way too young. It never really leaked to the streets like that though, right?
Shit. Niggas be talking about movies?
Nah, we had,
oh,
we
did.
Had serious.
Oh yeah, I was mad.
We had serious gang beef behind that episode.
Wow.
Like niggas had like, the homies, like, it was some real drag down ass fist fights all that type of shit. Like, that was a serious beef as far as gangbanging was concerned. And so it was a lot of casualties behind that. Absolutely. Because niggas was still in the streets. I think if it wasn't for the fact of that, if it was just on some rap shit, it would have been different. But because niggas was actively claiming Treetop and Trag New and that type of shit, and then, like I say,
niggas felt like they just
it was beyond us because of our affiliation to neighborhoods. So now you got the homies who are feeling disrespected because of what is going on. So now that beef is jumping off. It ain't even got to be me and him around nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be two homies from here and three homies from they hood, and they gonna get out because it was just happening at the time. That's so
crazy. I'm gonna tell y'all. When I saw, what was that, Minister Society? Mm-hmm. When you woke up and dumped on overboard now, mm-hmm. I was mad as a motherfucker because I knew. I swear to God, I'm one of them.
Why was you mad at AWACS?
No, I wasn't mad at AWACS.
I said AWACS, the character.
Look, I'm looking because I knew it was a blood on the ground, and he walked out on
you. It's funny, I never got that from Minister Society.
I got the jazz shit up. I threw my bottle, my 40 off the motherfucking table.
I never got that from Minister Society.
Say, some prejudice motherfuckers.
I thought it seemed like they stayed away from Crippin' and Bloodin' to me.
No, that's what it was.
Did it feel like that? They didn't
mention it, but that was the direction because they had on you, burgundy.
Exactly.
Oh, they did.
If you're a gang member, you knew exactly what the fuck happened. He took off and killed the motherfucker.
If you looked at it, our hood was the Jordan Downs. Even though they didn't clarify that we were from Great Street, our hood was the Jordan Downs.
So they never gave anything.
They didn't give names to it because they knew how much funk that shit would bring here in LA. If you notice,
same thing with Boys in the Hood.
They didn't go, we're Crippin' or we're from this hood or we're that hood. They go, okay, y'all put on some burgundy sweatshirts, eight in them, you put on a blue Pendleton and you wear the blue A's hat or whatever. But they didn't want to clarify it like that because they probably would have caught flack from all kind of motherfuckers in the city.
Yeah.
And we probably wouldn't have been able to show the movie.
Yeah,
oh, y'all talking about the 60s or the Grape Streets or y'all talking about...
So you just had to make it as open as possible.
Exactly. If you was from LA, you knew.
Right.
That's it.
I knew exactly what happened. Like a motherfucker.
I get up here and
act that shit out.
Did you feel like that with Boys in the Hood when Ice Cube got him at the end?
Boys, no, not like this one.
No, that was too close. That was personal. No.
Say, Glass, you know,
like shit was heat.
This is hilarious. Yeah.
The movie was live.
I know you was.
The movie was live. But nigga, where we was at, we didn't get crunk until A did that.
Yeah, Boys in the Hood wasn't. It wasn't Minister Society, and for the fact that we had the little beef going on, it just made that just like because niggas was active. That's why.
Right. AWACS and Dope.
Nobody associated, even though Cube was Cube.
Sure.
Nobody associated Cube as like, oh, Cube from motherfucking soul.
Yeah, yeah. We
was banging.
Yeah.
You get me? So when niggas saw that, like James, like, I mean, fuck
like, oh,
that shit.
Fucked up.
Because them niggas was banging. Like so, they was really doing the shit.
So if they was ever like, I want, and we talk, you know what I mean? If there was ever a Death Row movie,
it'd be a whole bunch of niggas dead. Don't even ask me that question. It'd be a whole bunch of motherfuckers dead.
Which scene would you feel like they would have to leave out?
All of it.
The whole movie?
Don't mention none of that shit.
I can't lie to you.
It had to be fun initially when y'all first was trying to start it.
Well, whooping motherfuckers' ass is the fun part.
Now, when you
get to the fucking killing motherfuckers and just really on gunplay back and forth, that's the shit you can't talk about it. You can't put it out there. But some of that shit was, okay, that's cool. Fuck it, he deserved it. You know what I'm saying? But the majority of that shit is like, Fuck no, I'm too graphic.
James, do you think if shit never went sideways, do you think Death Row could have been a power entity as far as music and...
would have been very powerful because when Suge came and got me, I didn't want Suge to take pictures. I didn't want Suge to do this. And when Death Row launched, and when y'all ever see that, the first show that Death Row did, Suge had on a green suit. He never wore red. He didn't wear red.
Yeah,
like
I remember early on.
So then when I got all the homies together and we did the Budweiser Superfest, and he felt the power of the homies pushing that crowd behind the stage, Suge was sitting like this and went like this.
Power corrupts.
Everybody ain't meant to have power like
power
that.
Power corrupts, man.
He didn't know how to handle it. Yeah. He didn't know how to control this cat and that cat, the homies in general. So he had to incorporate the police. To
have somebody to have some kind of
to keep
leverage.
That ass off that ass, you feel me?
Yeah.
And now he felt that, okay, I got the police and I got the homies.
When you first noticed it, was there somebody who really saw what you saw? Because I remember when you was telling me, you was like, man, he kind of losing, he losing control a little bit. Or he was in the wrong direction.
I saw it at the beginning.
But who was the person that kind of saw with you? It's always one person.
No.
They just all thought you were
tripping. The homies was getting mad at me because I was on Suge ass so much. And the first premiere we did, DLC. We all in the limo with tuxedos on and shit, right? Mm-hmm. So just imagine a gang of motherfuckers rolling like this. DLC gets in the limo and start doing 90 up a motherfucking alley. So the homie wanted to shoot him in the back of the head. No. So when the nigga pulled back up in front of the motherfucker, you got the cameras and all this shit, and I hope you hear it, sucker. He pulls back up, the homie wanna get him. I said, no, this shit, we doing our thing. Cause it just started. So when we get out the car, I walk to DOC and I ask him, why the fuck did you do that? Now he thinking he that motherfucker because of Suge. So you ain't that motherfucker in front of Suge, nigga, you could've killed us. So I knocked him and slid him down the limo, right? Here comes Suge. Who hit Doc? I hit him, nigga. Okay, what you do? What you do wrong? You know, he was an alcoholic at the time. So right after that, Suge knew who to fuck with, who not to fuck with, and who he didn't want to fuck with because he can't control it.
So at that point, he starts separating.
Yeah, you can't control it. So now he's just putting on all this red and doing all of this. He doing that because nobody can touch him. If he looked at you and somebody looked and said, I did a fuck you finger or made it look like a fuck you finger, that motherfucker got knocked out.
Yeah.
Niggas was getting a bonus check just how many niggas you can knock out in one night.
So if it's one particular event that made you feel like that was gonna go wrong, what was the first one you was like, this ain't gonna go right?
In New York.
When they booed him.
In New York, we was in
New
York.
Oh no, when he got on the stage.
No, not when he did that, it was before that. We're in New York and a bunch of motherfuckers didn't like Suge and was got to like saying fuck him and all this. I'm like, oh shit, but we out here with no pistols and shit. I'm like, okay, how we gonna do this one? The next motherfucking day, we go to the little mall. I buy me a knife, right? So we go back. Now, these
James
motherfuckers,
like,
hold on. Just hold up. Nigga, you bought a knife from the mall?
Yeah.
Out of all the shit you can buy in the mall, you just got a knife.
I needed a knife. So we had to be ready though, because we somewhere we ain't supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you can't go in the
mall. So you don't know why they was mad? It was just.
They just didn't like Suge, just like in Las Vegas. Niggas didn't like Suge. But Vegas, we can get in our car and roll with our pistols. We was good. Like 662, we was good at 662. When certain individuals talking about coming to 662, we had homies posted. The only reason they didn't get out the car is because of the police that was there because of 662.
All right, so New York, now back to New York. So.
Okay, so after that, these motherfuckers, my homeboy Showboat, rest in peace. Motherfuckers in the crowd start throwing shit. My homie Showboat start climbing the motherfucking stairs. The motherfucker that threw whatever, this drink or whatever, my homie Showboat went up there, picked his ass up, put him on the shoulder, and when he got close down to the witch column, he dropped the motherfucker. Now here come all the police. The police ready to take us to jail. Well, ready to take Showboat to jail, because I was standing like this. I didn't throw the motherfucker.
I didn't throw that nigga down there.
But we had some heated times, man.
But that one thing in New York, you knew it was kind of.
I knew
it was gonna be on.
Every situation we was in, I knew it was finna go bad because we had a purpose of being there. We knew what we was coming for.
So in other words, he brought y'all when he knew it was gonna be some shit.
He didn't have a choice. He didn't do nothing by himself. Damn. We was the muscle. We was the heat. And when somebody needed their ass kicked, we came and did it. I was just telling them, we had a fight with the Rams football team.
I remember this story.
Fucking with this
story. Yeah, I heard about this story.
And Suge and the dude on the Rams team was fucking the same chick. So we had Roxbury or whatever that shit on Sunset, and we chilling, and next thing we hear Suge telling everybody to come outside. So when I come outside, he's like, these motherfuckers tripping. I'm looking.
These the motherfucking Rams.
The nigga head on his shoulder and shit.
Big.
So he a big motherfucker. So I'm looking like, goddamn.
This nigga that got us in too.
You picked this motherfucker to fight? So all the homies out there, and once the nigga start talking crazy, my little brother Bunch, he took off. Then George took off. So when they take off, we just start now beating the shit out them big old niggas.
Niggas couldn't fight at all.
And people was out there clapping, y'all little motherfuckers whooped their ass. And I'm telling you, you just had to be ready. Fucking with shit, you had to be ready.
It was just always
like
some shit.
Like it's go time.
Over a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever get some money with him, mate?
No, I never did anything with Suge and them.
Never, not on soundtrack, never, nothing?
No. I mean, we had a few conversations, but
I'm sure he had to eventually come. Like, we need to do something because he was smart enough to sign everything.
Death Row was taking
away.
Shit.
Yeah, I was on a whole different path. My career, I never clicked up with anybody. I kind of was on my own path whole career. You know, I didn't click up with Easy and them or Dre and them or you know. I just kind of stayed to myself because I felt we had a different story to tell. Being from Compton and everybody was doing their thing, but since we were still, you know, actively trying to gang bang and we were seeing a lot of shit in the neighborhood, I felt that we was just on a different path. So I never tried to click up with anybody. I just said, fuck it, we gonna do what we do.
Was there ever an opportunity you feel like you missed out that you was like, damn, I wish I would explore it and see how that went?
No, not really.
That's dope.
Not really, my nigga. You That's feel dope. Me? Certain motherfuckers are put in your path to do certain shit.
And I always wonder what would MCA, what Contas most wanted and Dr. Dre would have sounded like.
Yeah, I've never crossed paths with niggas like that. I mean, I've gotten the respect. Like,
sure,
know Dre.
Yeah.
We see Dre. Yeah. Me and Dre laugh, hang out, shake hands, whatever.
Which I never
but
just actually made
I was
happen.
Never one of them niggas who like, man, can I fuck with you or whatever. I always just felt like if niggas want to fuck with a
they
nigga, then
they
holler at me. If not, man, we keep it fucking moving. Man, and that was the motto I did. You don't wait around on a handout or you don't wait on a nigga, fuck it. Like, no disrespect, I'm cool with you, but man, I got shit to do.
Yeah.
I can't be waiting around on a nigga, you know what I'm saying? Certain niggas you ask to get down sometimes and a nigga tell you, hey man, yeah man, holler at me, woopty woop. Next thing you know, you waiting 6 months for a nigga to get with you.
Right.
I just learned to be like, man, just keep it moving. And don't have no ill will or disrespect or whatever.
It ain't personal.
But I can hold my fucking own. So fuck it, keep it pushing.
That's how we gonna end this motherfucker, man. Chill. Thank y'all for having us, man. I appreciate that shit.
All
every
time,
OG, it's always, you a fucking superstar, whether you know it.
My nigga.
You already know you was a star.
Chill.
Dude, man, I hope you got this shit. This shit was crazy. These niggas crazy. We out here.
Sure.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find that purple mic on the front screen of your phone, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and a rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles are Norm Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Taylor. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt. Show's audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. Any questions or comments, hit us up at thegangstachroniclespodcast@gmail.com. Peace. Be safe out there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk.
get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.